Lights, camera, action. We got an outtake for you this morning. That's a perspective that you're not going to hear anywhere else in this segment. Think about the economy. For I was talking about banks a moment ago. What drove the stock market bubble of the 1990s? Irrational exuberance, if you ask Alan Greenspan. What drove the prosperity of the previous decade? Really, the housing bubble. And what drove consumer spending through that entire time? An increase in proliferation of consumer debt in the form of credit cards. Joining us now is Christian Weller, a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress and associate professor of public policy at the University of Massachusetts in Boston. Christian Weller, first of all, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, banks are having trouble valuing assets such as credit default swaps and mortgage-backed securities, which means people aren't paying their mortgages. Are banks having trouble valuing the so-called assets that are represented by credit card accounts in their portfolios? And how big of a number are we talking about here?
Well, so far, the credit card market still is somewhat more liquid than other markets and still working, but there's certainly trouble brewing. It's not quite as large as the mortgage market. In fact, the credit card market generally is only about a third of the mortgage market, but the chance of losses in the credit card market is substantially higher. Typically, the default rates on credit cards tends to be somewhere between 3 and 4 times higher than for mortgages, even at the high end of mortgages. So you quickly, on the losses, you quickly catch up to mortgages with credit cards. Right now, for the end of 2008, credit card issuers had to basically write off 6.3% of all the loans, credit card debts that they had issued. And just to say this very clearly, this is a historic high. We have data going back to 1980. There's one little quarter in those years where one bank wrote a lot of money off. That's a little higher. But in the historical trend, this is the highest, 6.3%. And the rating firms, the consultings, expect that we're going to go to 8 to 9% by the end of 2009. And that certainly would be a record setter, and it's certainly troublesome in the current environment where the banks are already piling on losses in every corner of their business.
Beyond troublesome, though, does a rapid acceleration of the default rate on the credit card market threaten banks themselves? And what about consumers? Is this a wave of a shrinkage of credit that will actually cause a cash flow crisis in individual households?
Well, it starts, obviously, with a consumer. I mean, this reflects a lot of pain at the consumer end. And it will come back to the consumer, as you said. Ultimately, the credit card companies, and the credit card companies are already reacting to this. They basically, it's like American Express pays consumers to get away, give them $300 if they pay off their balance within a certain amount of time. A number of other banks have already been reducing the credit card limits, and then a number of other banks have been raising fees, monthly fees, annual fees on their customers, and have been increasing the interest rates. The important thing is where the credit card companies are doing those things, raising the fees, raising interest rates, is typically the customers who need it the most, the customers who are so-called revolvers, people who don't pay off their credit card balance month to month, who actually need the credit card as a loan instrument, not just a convenience.
You mentioned the shrinking amount of credit. Companies just can at any point go ahead and reduce credit. And there was a story that got some traction about a guy who basically, in order to save money, he didn't lose his job or anything. God knows that's not a sin either. Started shopping at less expensive stores, and they downed his limit because they thought that he was in distress. How are people making these decisions who run credit card companies? Are they using good metrics to decide who gets credit and who doesn't?
It's often very sophisticated, and it's up to the individual banks. It's that the banks ultimately have their own pricing models, what they identify as consumer behavior that trigger certain activities is certainly up to the individual banks, and it's not something that the banks really disclose. Typically what happens is the banks will quickly, in the current environment, they will reduce the limits, but in the past they typically have raised interest rates or fees if they feel there's a customer who behaves in a way that's irresponsible.
Now, your apocalyptic argument that this entire credit market is actually threatened is not shared by a lot of economists. And I wonder if you see the banks adjusting cash flow to basically look better on their balance sheets, or are they trying to get out ahead of a tsunami that they see coming?
Well, I mean, they're seeing something very quickly, and that is, I mean, the credit card market works similar to the housing market in a mortgage market, that basically you give the customer the credit, and then you turn around and you bundle a bunch of credit debt and you sell it off as a bundle. It's typically sold to other banks. That makes it somewhat different from the mortgage asset-backed securities market. But there is an escape clause, an exit clause for the investor here, and that is if you basically don't make the profit that you were promised on it, you can give the thing back to the banks.
Oh,
or
wow.
You could ask for more cash, so like reserves.
So
and that's ultimately what we're bumping up against.
So it's not just a toxic asset. That's the takeaway here. It's a toxic boomerang that actually, if these defaults start happening, could ripple throughout the banking sector. Christian
that's
Weller,
exactly,
that's a great exactly. detail. Senior fellow at the Center for American Progress and an associate professor of public policy at the University of Massachusetts, Boston. There's your outtake.